is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based healthcare. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
And welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
That's all you got? So hi. Oh, I got an eye roll. I got an eye roll in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. I got an eye roll. So today we are going to talk about acne. It's a kind of a interesting topic. Believe it or not, we see lots and lots of people that come to us that are suffering with acne. Now, acne may not be the exact reason that they're in, but they definitely want the issue addressed. And so we're going to talk today about acne. I mean, we see a lot of them. A lot of people are taking prescription medications or using some sort of over-the-counter cream to try and treat the problems. And a lot of times that just doesn't work. And it really doesn't work because acne truly needs to be treated from the inside out.
Yeah, or it'll work, but it's not working well. It'll maybe lessen it, but it's not getting rid of it. So, and there's a reason why, because, yeah, you can't treat it topically.
Right. It's very difficult to treat topically. And some of the prescription medications are extremely hard on a person's body. And, you know, some of them even run the risks for women of birth defects in babies. And not just while they're on the medication. It's if they use the medication and get pregnant within so long of after of using the medication. So there are a lot of risks that go with these things.
But there are also risks of having acne, because studies show sure. that acne can place a heavy emotional and psychological burden on a person.
It's
worse than their, you know, the physical burden that it.
Yeah. People are very, can be very embarrassed by acne, and it, you know, creates all kinds of depressive moods or depression type things. Anxiety. People have anxiety about the fact that they have to go out and do something and be seen.
Right. Fear and shame. Well, we see a lot of
bullying in kids.
Yep.
The kids that come
in.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. The bullying is just insane for no reason.
Typically, if we get people who bring children, you know, children or teens into our office for acne, if that's why they're in, it's because it's the result of a bullying issue. And that's what finally prompts them to actually look for a different treatment.
Right.
We see a lot of kids and teens and adults, will treat their acne, but they'll come in for a different issue.
Right. And then we have the adults that come in with acne, women in their 40s, men in their 40s and 50s, and that's a different issue with why they have acne, and I'll talk about that in a bit.
Right. It's been increasing among adults.
Yes, it's very much so increasing among adults. But so let's go back and talk about kids for just a second. So about 85 or so percent of teenagers deal with acne, or acne affects about that many. Now, some people it affects obviously way worse than others, and like Aaron just said, the incidence of it affecting adults is increasing, right? So what's crazy is you can find some of this information. There are 8 million different people that visit a dermatologist every year for their skin, acne in particular. And my guess is that number is actually low, because my guess is that's just a guesstimate or calculation of the statistics, you know, they're extrapolating, right? But we're spending, it's over $1 billion a year is spent on prescriptions and over-the-counter products to cure acne. So we're not talking about, you know, just a face cream. We're talking about things that are specific for acne.
Over $1 billion.
Over a billion.
And at best, these are a short-term solution.
At the absolute best, right? Young women that are dealing with, you know, acne, I mean, it may be coming and going in waves. Young guys, oftentimes, once they get acne, it's there, and it takes a while to go away until they address the issues. Women, it's cyclical. So they'll have acne, and maybe it goes away for a week, and it comes back. And maybe it goes away for a week, and it comes back. And they can't really pinpoint. It's just this cycle, this vicious cycle that they can't figure out. But when going the conventional medical route, the medicine that they prescribe is just dealing with symptoms. So
right, conventional medicine only deals with symptoms.
That's
acne is no different than any other topic we've addressed on our show.
And they
try to, you know, address the symptoms. That's
right. The symptom is the acne itself. The problem is some sort of underlying condition. So putting a pill or taking a pill or putting a lotion on your skin is trying to do stuff from the outside in.
And especially acne, I mean, you know, you'll be put on antibiotics or a lot of times strong liver damaging medication.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about earlier. I won't call them out by name. But yeah, liver damaging and creating birth defects. I mean, it's just they're huge side effects, right? But on the functional medicine side, we tend to address the root issues, right? We look at a bunch of different factors that go into this, things that contribute to acne, things like nutritional status, your perceived level of stress, the toxicity level in your body, your inflammation, your hormonal status, and that is a very key piece to adult acne. It's not an excess of hormones. It's also a depletion of hormones. And I don't think a lot of people realize that when testosterone and or estrogen plummet, acne happens as well. It happens when it's peaking and it happens when it's plummeting. But that sweet spot in the middle, right where your hormones should be optimized, right, is where you don't have acne at all and your skin glows and you look and feel amazing. Right, we'll have some shows on some hormone optimization coming up soon, but last but not least, our gut imbalances. The skin is oftentimes a direct reflection of what's going on inside the gut. So, I mean, this is really truly good news because we have control and we can make dietary and lifestyle changes to reverse the acne, to improve our health, without the effects that are there, the side effects that are there of pharmaceuticals, right? Or, you know, some sort of other invasive procedure. You go into a dermatologist to have something lanced because, you know, you have cystic acne or something.
Right. Well, and not only does it not have the side effects, I mean, are you missing that part of it? But it actually works and it's long term. It's
right.
An actual solution, because one of the big parts of dealing with acne is not just when you have the acne, it's the constant fear that it's going to come back.
Right.
And by correcting the problem, you take that away. And that's huge, because you don't have to worry that before an event or before you're going to, you know, see certain people or have something going on that you may be dealing with acne.
Right. Your in-law's parents coming over and you have a huge chunk of acne all over your face. It's just a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
So,
right. Well, and I don't know. I kind of wanted to talk about my own experience with acne.
Okay.
Also.
Okay. By all means,
so
knock yourself out. We got a few minutes.
So basically, with acne, you know, the main thing is I never had it. Like growing up, never dealt with acne. As a teenager, didn't deal with acne. It's just one of those things that I ended up, you know, being lucky and avoiding. That all changed when I got sick. And specifically when I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. Now, chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia both involve toxicity, gut damage, inflammation, hormonal imbalances, stress, among other things. I mean, we've talked about both of them on the show before, and the fact that, you know, these are things that can be extremely debilitating, but are both completely correctable because
right.
We know what causes them.
Right.
So I've told the story of my illness and recovery many times, but I don't usually talk about the skin problems that I had. My acne was triggered by severe intestinal infection that resulted from parasites, an overload of mercury, and stress.
She had mercury off the charts.
Yeah.
Like the if you do your own toxic metal testing, like her mercury, the line went off of the page. We're talking super high levels. Go ahead.
Well, so in fairly short period of time, my skin completely changed. It turned a slightly gray color. I developed dark circles under my eyes. I started getting pimples all over my face, which was a new adventure at around 32 when all of this happened. I got strange rashes around my eyes when I would eat certain foods, which is one of the reasons why I started thinking, hey, this isn't, you know, something is connected here. I even developed itchy red patches on different parts of my body. So
she was a mess.
I was a mess. I was.
She's completely falling apart.
I was already a mess before that because, like I said, I mean, I knew I was sick, but it was a change in me when I looked like a mess. Because all of a sudden, right. I was like, oh, people are going to, I mean, it just, it
vanity
does.
Got her. Vanity
it
got
is.
Her.
I mean, I've talked about that before. It is vanity that will, I mean,
vanity will drive you yes. to the doctor faster than anything.
It is a huge motivator. So, I mean, I didn't need creams or gels or lotions like, you know, benzoyl peroxide or retinoid or salicylic acid or peels or, you know, topical antibiotics. All of those may have helped a little bit, but would not have, you know, helped me long term. I didn't need oral antibiotics, which can cause long term gut complications, immune problems, yeast overgrowth, which we've talked about before.
Were you prescribed all of these things?
Well, when I had gone to the dermatologist, I was told to go on retinoid.
Yep.
And then they had suggested Accutane, which I said, no, I'm not interested. That was it. You know, one of those things I'm just like, nope, not doing it. And I was really pushed to go on a birth control pill, which, again, I mean, we haven't talked about this a lot on the show, but we're very against. I mean, birth control pills have a ton of complications. So we did not. So I knew I wasn't going to go that route. I know that we need to take a break, so if you want, I can get back into this after we get back from the break.
Yeah, you're listening to Wellness 101.
You're listening to Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone 314-293-8123.
And welcome back, everyone. We're listening to Wellness 101. Today, we have been talking about acne. And before the break, Erin was sharing her story with acne and all of the health issues that she ran into beginning at the age of, at the wise old age of 32.
Yes.
And
when you think that you're past the age of acne,
yes.
You think that you have just, you know, luckily avoided having to deal with it, and then it happens.
And then it just smacks you. So,
or it did me.
I'll let you continue on with your story.
Well,
there.
And I don't have much more to say. I really, you know, I was.
Oh, no, you got two more segments. Go ahead.
As I was saying before the break, I didn't, you know, I knew I didn't want to use, you know, these tools of modern dermatology to treat it because I knew enough at that point to know that, first of all, that wasn't going to fix the problem. You know, could be a short term solution. I was not above, you know, putting a cream on my face to try to get it, you know, to lessen it until I could fix the issue. But I knew that wasn't a long term solution. The other thing is, because I was sick, I was already dealing with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. Those are the things I'd been diagnosed with. I also had migraines. I mean, I had a bunch of different things that I'd been diagnosed with through conventional medicine. But personally, I knew that my body was sensitive enough that I was afraid to put more medication into my body or on my body. You know, I mean, I just knew I was kind of taxed at that point and I felt like it was not the right thing. So, you know, what I needed was, you know, to heal my leaky gut, correct food sensitivities and nutritional deficiencies, detoxify from the mercury that I had, get rid of the parasites, reduce inflammation, and rebalance hormones. And over, you know, a period of time, that's what I did. And I say over a period of time, it didn't take that long once I finally, you know, figured out what needed to be done. And, you know, my acne vanished. The skin around my eyes cleared up. My rashes went away. And amazingly,
I think you need to emphasize that you decided to do a lot of this stuff all at one time rather than, because I think a lot of people out there, they figure out that they've got 20 things going on and they want to fix just one.
Yeah. See, I don't understand that mindset. I mean, and I guess, you know, I just don't because when you find out something is wrong, I want it fixed. I mean,
right.
That is how I do things. And, you know, we do get some patients sometimes who will come in and they'll have, you know, they'll find out they have food sensitivities. And they're like, well, what if I'm going to start cutting these out? And, you know, and we're like, okay, you may not see results. And like I said, I mean, acne is a huge motivator, right? I mean, I'm just like, I want it gone. But more than that,
I've said before, if we could put people's health issues on their face,
yes,
we would have a whole lot more healthy individuals in this country. If we could somehow put on your face that you have heart disease, that you have diabetes, that you have, you know, insulin resistance, that you have toxic metals, people would definitely pay attention to this and fix their issues.
Well, and I think that, you know, and that's another thing. I know that we get a lot of people who come in when they start gaining weight, because weight gain is another thing. It's a physical appearance change. And that's why, you know,
when someone has to buy an entirely new wardrobe,
right?
They're like, wait a minute.
Well, and that's why, you know, we're kind of torn on this. We're all for acceptance. We definitely, you know, want to avoid shame at all costs. But at the same time, there is a part of the body acceptance movement that is counterproductive to health.
Right.
It is. And
it's,
I know that people are going to get upset about that. But it's not. I certainly don't think that anyone should be shamed for being overweight. But if you are overweight, you are not healthy. I mean, you can't be obese and be healthy. It doesn't work that way. And
just so, like, you won't be obese if you are healthy.
Right. It doesn't. I mean, and I think people try to fight that because they don't want it to be true. But that is the truth. It's a fact. And you can't argue with that. I mean, that's what the science says. And I think, you know, just like with acne, if you have acne, something is going on. Something is not right, because that is not the normal appearance of your skin. It's not the way that your skin wants to present itself to the world. And no, I mean, so it is a sign, just like, you know, we talk about the check engine light is on your car. You don't put a piece of tape over it so you don't have to look at it anymore. You have to find out what's actually wrong with your engine. And that's what we do. I mean, acne is a sign, you know, weight gain is a sign, all of these things. But anyway, once I addressed all these underlying problems, my issues, you know, vanished. And people were shocked. I mean, basically, they're like, you know, it's funny because my family and close friends who thought I was kind of crazy for shunning conventional medicine and going a different route then thought, well, this is a miracle. And I'm just like, well, it's not a miracle. And actually, this is what eventually led to the opening of our clinic.
There was a lot of hard work that went into this quote unquote miracle. It's just like, you know, overnight sensations weren't born overnight.
Right.
Right. They took years and years to do. And this didn't necessarily take years, but it took some time.
No, it definitely didn't. But it did take some changes.
Think about where you would be, and maybe comment just a second on where you would be had you not used some common sense and said, wait, this conventional approach isn't working.
Right. I don't know where I would be.
I mean, I know you would be a million times sicker than you are.
Well, I definitely would be. I wouldn't be working. I mean, and we've talked about this before. Like, I was so debilitated. I was struggling to stay over 80 pounds. I was 5'6". I was not working. I wasn't able to function. In that regard, the fact that my skin was upset shouldn't have been that big of a problem to me, because I wasn't doing anything. I didn't have any energy to go anywhere, but I had to look at myself. And so that enough, I don't know what my life would look like if I hadn't gone this route, which is why I'm such a, you know, passionate
advocate
for this style of medicine. And why the clinic was opened. So I've pushed so hard, because I'm like, other people need to have access to this, because it's been completely life changing. And we've seen it change so many lives since we've opened. And that's why we do this show, too, because to the extent possible, want to give you the tools that you can use at home to change things for yourself.
Right.
Because really, this is, you know, functional medicine helps to put medicine and health back in your own hands.
Right.
Because you know your body better than anyone else. And I think too often we give our power away to doctors. We don't do the research that we need to do because we trust that they know what is best. But that has not gotten us to become a healthy nation. we are extremely sick, so it's clearly not working.
It's definitely not. No, and not only are we extremely sick, we are broke.
And we're not
happy. The healthcare
system
is broke. I mean, we are 30-something rated in the world for overall health. We're last in industrialized countries or the top 11 countries. There are 11 countries that are compared to us from an economic standpoint. We're last in that in children's health. We're last in infant mortality. I mean, our kids are dying. Our kids are sicker. We're sicker. I mean, The last time I checked, Slovenia was ahead of us in health. I mean, I'm no expert on world geography, but I know Slovenia is not the best country to want to have to live in. No offense to Slovenians out there.
I don't know anything about Slovenia.
But trust me, the fact that Slovenia's healthcare is better than ours in the United States, where we spend more money per person on healthcare than any other country in the world, it's disheartening, to say the least. Something has got to change. And the change has to come from you deciding, I'm not going to give my money to that model.
Right.
I'm going to spend my money over here. The same thing can be true if we wanted to, you know, if we want to increase the amount of organic foods available in the grocery store, we stop buying conventional foods.
Right.
That's why we're seeing more and more the organic sections of grocery stores are getting larger and larger and larger, because it's affecting the pocketbook of the big food industry.
Right. So kind of off. Well, actually, more on topic than where you went. So I guess I'm going back to topic.
Sidebar.
is the fact that, you know, I mean, well, you mentioned this about, you know, if we push against conventional medicine, then conventional medicine maybe will be more likely to change because we won't be accepting it anymore. And that just made me think, we've had a number of people come in who come in, like we said, for other issues, and then acne is brought up and they're on a number of medications for acne.
Right.
And we have found that a lot of times these people are terrified to change anything because they're like, do not take away this. You know, I can't change this medicine because it has taken me years to find the cocktail that kind of contains the acne problem that I have. And I'm not going through that again. And it's
even though their liver looks like trash,
yeah,
their cholesterol's all jacked up, their, you know, nutritional status is in the tank.
And but I mean, I guess my point is we get it, you know, and a lot of times they will eventually. Well, I don't think we've ever had anyone who just said, nope, I'm not doing it. But it does take some convincing, like, hey, this is going to get better. You don't have to live on, you know, relying on these medications that are killing you. They're
right.
Killing you really slowly,
right,
but they're killing you.
And the people, a lot of times what's unfortunate is people will not associate the chronic health conditions that they end up with, you know, 30 years from now with the medications that they're taking now. They just think, oh, well, this, you know, the heart disease happened to me. It did. It happened to you starting, you know, 50 years ago. It's not just getting you now.
If at any point in your life you're put on a medication indefinitely, and especially if you are planning on living another 20 to 30 years, you need to really second guess that.
Right.
Because pretty much can guarantee that the medicines, I mean, there are most of the medicines out there that are used routinely at this point haven't been around that long.
Right.
So we don't, you know, I mean, there are certainly ones that have been used for a number of years, but not typically the ones that are given, you know, daily for the rest of your life. So we don't know how it affects a person.
No.
But it makes sense that it wouldn't be good for you, right?
Right.
So, I mean, if you're put on a medication and you're planning on living for another 20 years or so, you need to really start thinking.
If you're wanting
of
to live
any medication,
a quality 20 years.
Right.
We're good at keeping people alive in this country. But really, I mean, we're overweight. We can't exercise. You know, our kidneys are shutting down. Our liver's, you know, sick and we need a transplant. I mean, who wants that quality of life?
Right. And I mean that especially for things that, I mean, people don't even think of, but like, you know, blood pressure medication or cholesterol or birth control or, you know, all of these things that, you know, and a lot of over-the-counter medications as well.
Right. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back,
we're going to actually get into.
We're going to talk about a little bit different approach to acne. I'm going to throw out some interesting information, then we're really going to get into some ways to help you eliminate acne. You're listening to Wellness 101.
You're listening to Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone 314-293-8123.
And welcome to the show, everyone. If you've been listening, we're talking about acne, or if you're just tuning in, we're talking about acne. And last segment and a half, Erin has been telling her story and talking about her struggles with acne and how they started when she was 32, not when she was a teenager. She had good skin until she turned 32, and that's when all of her chronic conditions and everything caught up to her all at once. And then she talked about how she got through all that. So if you missed that, please go back, listen to the show on iTunes or SoundCloud and check that out, because I think you'll find that very interesting.
And I just thought of this.
Oh, and she's got more. She's got more. Yay.
That this isn't just a way to correct skin problems. You know, this what we're going to talk about here, and we're going to give you actual, we are going to get into, you know, ways to eliminate acne, but also it's a way to keep it from coming back. I want to point out, we've talked on here before, that I went through fertility treatments. I was on a ton of hormones, and my skin never messed up. And that's because we were on top of it. And I made sure that, you know, the
good job, TJ.
Yeah. I mean, really, because really, let's face it. He didn't want to have to deal with me if I was freaking out about my skin. But it's not just a way to eliminate if you have it, but a way to make sure that it doesn't pop up even when, you know, you've got hormonal fluctuations or, you know, a stressful time in your life. Because let's face it. I mean, that's the worst time to then on top of it have to deal with acne. But that's when you're going to end up seeing it, when you've got these other issues that are coming up, or when you've been sick, or, you know, when it's the least, you know, it's just the worst time for it to actually come up.
Right.
I don't know what word I was trying to think of there, but
it's
you weren't
okay.
able to help me out.
I was not. So I want to talk just briefly, it's a little different approach on acne. So, you know, going at it superficially doesn't typically work long-term, right? So in functional medicine, we get to the root of things. We try to figure out what's actually going on. And one piece of the puzzle is oxidative stress. And we've talked about oxidative stress on here, and oxidative stress is what starts an inflammatory process, right? And so oxidative stress, really what it is your mitochondria, which are little parts of your cell that help your body by making energy, right? They convert calories and oxygen into energy is what they're doing. So our cells, I don't think people realize how many of these energy-producing cells you have in your body. There's 100,000 trillion mitochondria, and they consume 90% of the oxygen that you breathe. 90% of the oxygen you breathe is to make energy for you to be able to do things, right? This is part of why sleep is so important and why exercise is important, because it allows us to better utilize oxygen, right? And so when we don't use oxygen properly, we can produce these things called free radicals. And these free radicals create all kinds of damage. And that is the oxidative damage that's going on. It's kind of like rusting. Your body is like an old car, and on the inside it's just rusting. That's what oxidative damage is doing. And so when we have this oxidative damage, we damage our cells. We damage the membranes of our cells. So things leak in and out that aren't supposed to. Right. And when we have a lot of that going on, we end up with skin that's wrinkled. We end up with skin that's dry. We end up with skin that could be oily, because everybody's just a little different in how they react to this damage. And we can end up with things like acne. Right. And so we eat all these foods that are toxic, that don't have really any nutritional value, or what nutritional value is there has been added in by some poor supplement. Or poor quality supplement, I should say, right? And we're eating this low nutrient, super high calorie diet, which is the standard American diet. That's what we're consuming, right? And so we need to improve our antioxidant status. So we need to get more antioxidant foods. And we're going to talk about this in a minute when we get into, you know, the different ways that you can eliminate acne yourself. But that's how we control this oxidative damage. The easiest way to do it is with diet. It's not the fastest way. The fastest way is to do things like IV nutrition, because that's super quick. It gets into your system. You don't have to digest it. But the easiest way is just to eat foods that are good for you, right? So big culprits to get rid of is sugar, right? Sugar causes our insulin level to go up. It causes women to produce testosterone. It causes testosterone to drop in men, And it causes this inflammation, and which is helping to promote this whole acne thing that's going on in people, right? There are large research studies, huge randomized trials that are going on that talk about people who ate more sugar, ate more things like breads, rice, cereals, pastas, flour.
Right, because it all turns to sugar in your body.
It's all sugar in the body. It's all dry leaves on a fire, right? They all had significantly more acne. Dairy consumption leads to acne, right? It's a huge one. And there are another couple of large controlled trials. They found that people who consumed cow's milk, they had more acne, and it was much more severe acne, right, than people who weren't consuming dairy or cow's milk products. And dairy is not just milk. It's milk, ice cream, yogurt, butter, the whole cheese, the whole gamut of dairy, right? So those are big ones. And making sure that we get enough omega-3s, a huge anti-inflammatory food. A lot of us with the standard American diet, the high nutrient or the low nutrient dense, high calorie, we don't have the good fats in there, right? And so getting omega-3s can be extremely important, right? So those are just a few of the things. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time. I really want to get into the actual ways that you can eliminate acne yourself, right? So there are a lot of different things that you can do. We're going to cover 8 or 10 of these, and hopefully this is something that can help you, right? So the first one on the list is low glycemic, right? Get rid of sugar, processed foods. Instead, choose real, whole food, fresh foods. These things tend to be lower in sugar, right? And try to eat organic when you can, right? Organic helps to get rid of some of the chemicals that are in non-organic foods. And there's trials out there, research articles that show that a low glycemic load diet improves symptoms in acne in people that had acne, right? So
right. And you had said, you know, cut out all sugar and processed foods. And I just wanted mm-hmm. to address, I mean, I know that that's terrifying to a lot of people. Processed foods is definitely a necessity. I mean, they need to go. Sugar is something that if you can get sugar down, it's really hard to eliminate all sugar.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that most people are eating like 20 to 30 times the amount of sugar that they need.
We're eating a pound a day.
I mean,
between sugar and
insane.
White flour.
And
a pound
one of
a day.
The, I mean, if you can cut out all sugar, that's great. But one of the benefits that you'll see once you really drastically cut down your sugar intake is that you won't need as much sugar. You won't right. crave it like you are. So, I mean, I get it when, you know, we say cut out all sugar, a lot of people just quit listening. They're just like, well, that's not doable.
Right.
But it's not doable because you're eating sugar, so you're craving sugar.
Right.
So.
And it's triggering pleasure centers in your brain.
Right.
And so it's a hard thing to overcome. You overcome it with fats. It's a dirty little secret. Good, healthy fats can help you overcome those sugar cravings.
Yes.
So it's a nice little secret for you. So that's the first one is low glycemic foods, low sugar foods. Next is eliminate food sensitivities. I can't tell you how many times people have come to our office and they haven't really, we've noticed the acne, but they haven't really complained about the acne. We don't really get into the acne with them because, you know,
they're not on prescription medication for it.
Right. They're not on prescription meds.
It's not something they've brought up.
They don't bring it up. We just kind of leave it alone. It's something that we address usually by a visit 2 or 3, if they haven't said anything. But when people get their food sensitivities, they'll come in and literally say, oh my gosh, my skin is so much better now. What happened? What did you do? I'm like, we didn't do anything. You did it all. All we did was actually draw the blood to be able to run the test for your food sensitivities, and you decided not to eat those foods that you're sensitive to. How were we supposed to know that your sensitivity to blueberries was causing acne for you? Because that's the sort of stuff that can happen. Literally, sensitivities to foods that are generally recognized as health foods can cause you to have symptoms like acne.
Yes.
So this is one that it's mind-blowing when people are like, well, blueberries are good for you, and I eat them every day. I'm like, yeah, but you have acne, and, you know, stop
eating
them.
And a lot of times what we hear is, blueberries are good for you, and I love them, and I'm not giving up blueberries. Well, that's a really good sign that you're sensitive to it.
Right.
Because when you're craving it that much, there's probably a reason for it.
Exactly. All right, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to finish up the show by continuing to talk about different ways that you can eliminate acne on your own. You're listening to Wellness 101.
You're listening to Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone 314-293-8123.
And welcome back, everyone. I can't believe the show's almost over. We're in the last segment. Today we've been talking about acne. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a really good show. Erin shared her story with acne, and I think it was very moving. I think a lot of people can relate to that. But closing out the show, we've been talking about ways that you can eliminate acne. We talked about low glycemic. So getting sugar out of your diet is a big piece of that puzzle to decrease inflammation. Eliminating food sensitivities, because the foods that we eat directly affect how we operate. That's just fact. You are what you absorb from the foods that you eat. But next on the list is eat an anti-inflammatory diet. So we want to make sure that the foods that we are eating are anti-inflammatory. Things like wild-caught fish, fresh fruits and vegetables, spices like turmeric and ginger, drinking green tea, eating dark purple foods or red foods, things like berries, green leafy vegetables. Those are all great things that are anti-inflammatory. Next on the list is a big one. This fixing your gut. Like, everyone's like, oh, I have leaky gut. I have this. I have that. I have something else. And I will invariably ask the question, have you actually had it tested? And people look at me like, no. I'm like, okay, well, how do you know what to fix if you haven't been tested to figure out what's wrong? Because if you haven't done a stool test, you have no idea if the bacteria in your gut are in balance. And if they're out of balance, what's actually out of balance? Do you have too much of something, or do you have too little of something? Because you treat those completely differently. Do you have inflammatory markers that are elevated, or do you have inflammatory markers that are too low? Because you can actually have too low of an inflammatory response in your gut, and you won't absorb the nutrients that you have either. Do you have an overgrowth of a dysbiotic flora, something that's supposed to be there in small amounts, but it's taken over because it's gotten out of control and it's creating an issue? Do you have other inflammatory markers that are present? Do we have an ability to make things like short chain fatty acids in our gut, or do we not have enough of those? There's a whole host of issues that are going on that if you don't know what it is, there's no way to address the issue. And all of those things could lead to a leaky gut, but you may be doing the wrong thing to help heal your gut, right? Do you have toxic loads in your system? Do you have, you know, is your leaky gut from a toxin? Is it from an autoimmune condition? Have you addressed the underlying autoimmunity that you may have going on, if it's there? Have you actually tested it? Those are things that all matter when dealing with gut issues. I highly encourage you to find someone that's certified to do functional medicine to figure this stuff out for you, because a lot of people claim to be functional medicine practitioners. We were just talking during the break. A lot of people claim to be functional medicine practitioners that have absolutely no training in it. They can't prove it to you that they've had training. So you've got to find somebody that's done this stuff.
And most people don't know to look for that. They will say, well, I go to see a functional medicine practitioner. We get that all the time. Well, I went to see a functional medicine practitioner. And we're like, who did you see? Because we know the people who do it in our city.
Right.
And we know the people who do it, you know, a lot of them around the country, because there's not that big of a group.
No.
And so when people say, you know, that they went to someone, especially if it's someone in town, we're like, who is it? And a lot of times we're just like, it's frustrating from our standpoint that people are holding themselves out as something that they're not. And it's kind of you know, there is a certification for it, but there's no crime in saying that you are functional. It's not like claiming you're a medical doctor when you don't have MD behind your name.
Right.
It's functional medicine. There's nobody really policing it.
Right.
So literally anyone can say that they're a functional medicine practitioner.
Yep.
So.
Yep. That's true. Next on the list is stressing less. So decreasing the stress in your life. So a lot of times people are like, well, just you know, reduce the stress. Well, how do you reduce the stress? It's like telling you to go home and get taller, right? We reduce stress by optimizing our nutrition. That's a big one. Getting enough minerals in our system. If our nutrition is optimized, the things that stress you out today won't stress you out tomorrow if your nutrition is optimal. If your hormones are optimal, things won't stress you. You won't perceive the stress because stress is all perception. It's what stresses one person doesn't necessarily stress another because they have two different nutritional statuses. So paying close attention to that, you know, stress causes us to choose, make poor dietary choices. And so keeping the diet right can help you with that stress, along with things like massage, yoga, meditation. All of those types of things are great, right? Address your nutritional deficiencies is next. Making sure we have enough things like zinc and omega-3 fatty acids, even some omega-6 acids, even though they're inflammatory, in the right amounts and right ratios, they can be very anti-inflammatory. You know, using things like saw palmetto, it's usually used for prostate health, but it can reduce acne in women, which is a great thing.
It can also reduce facial hair.
That's true. It does reduce facial hair in women. Right. So all these things
all
are
good things.
Great. Getting great sleep. Sleep, not having enough sleep contributes to inflammation. Right. When we don't have enough sleep, we feel bad. We're cranky. We have a lot of things that take place. We rest and heal, or we heal and repair, rather, while we are resting. That's why when you're sick, what do you want to do? You want to curl up and take a nap. Everyone wants to sleep when they're sick. It's because your body has damage going on and you're trying to heal and repair it. When your kids get sick, what do? They go into their room and they sleep, or they fall asleep on the couch, right? That's how you know that the kids are sick. The same thing. We have to get sleep as adults to be able to heal and repair ourselves. We talked a minute ago about oxidation and how oxidants are a problem. So another thing that we want to do is we want to make sure we get more antioxidants. Things like vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin E, all are critical for skin health, and we need to get those things through our diet. Now, you can supplement them, yes, but getting them through our diet is important too. So we're eating more fresh fruits and vegetables, organic when possible, right? These things have more antioxidants and anti-inflammatory, and when you have that, you have less acne, okay? Exercise. There is no pill, powder, or potion that I can tell you to take that will do more for you than exercise will. The benefits from exercise are just astronomical, right? But sometimes you got to feel good enough to want to go out and exercise. It's where get the diet right, get yourself to eating healthier. You might lose a couple of pounds, and then you're able to exercise and lose even more weight. But the exercise reduces inflammation, so that's going to boost confidence right there, because it's going to decrease the inflammation. We're going to decrease the risk of having acne. Confidence is going to go up. Wonderful, wonderful thing. And then last but not least is choose your skincare products wisely, right? There are some really good products out there. There are some that are not so good.
There are a lot that are not so good.
There are probably more that are not so good than there are that are good. One place that you can go, a resource that you can go to check out whether or not your products for skincare are good or not, is the Environmental Working Group. Their website is EWG.org. They rate all kinds of products. You want to know what, you know, makeup is the best, go there, right? You want to know all different kinds of things, go there. They have lots of great information. All right. That's the show. I think we've covered a lot of ground today with acne. Hopefully you learned something that you can take away and implement yourself, especially if you're suffering from acne or if you have a child who is suffering from acne. These are some things that you can do and strategies, and hopefully Aaron's personal story hit home for you. If you want more information from us, visit our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. We put posts up on a regular basis. You can feel free to call us at 314-293-8123. Email us questions. We love to hear from you. If you have suggestions for shows, throw that out there. We'll do our best to get to those. But that's about all the time we have for today. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.
Wellness 101 has been brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your destination for functional medicine in St. Louis. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone 314-293-8123.